We bless you, Lord. We thank you that you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the mighty one of Israel. And we worship you tonight. We exalt you. And we don't have to call you Lord because you are Lord already. We acknowledge that you are Lord. You are King. We thank you, Lord, that you and your word are one. And we thank you that you live in our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you tonight that the word flows like a mighty rushing river. I yield myself to you, Lord, and I thank you that you anoint my lips. I thank you that I think the thoughts of Christ. I have the mind of Christ, and I speak the oracles of God. I thank you, Lord, that you draw us closer into a relationship with you. Lord, we are hungry for you. We seek after you. We draw close to you. Lord, we have decided to do that. We have decided to follow you, no matter what. Lord, we have decided not to look at circumstances. We will continue to look with the eye of the Spirit. And so, Father, we receive your word tonight. Spirit of God, we give you free rein in each one of us. Have your way in this meeting. We thank you in Jesus' name. Okay, last year, that sounds like a long time ago. Last year, in 2007, I started off with the secrets of prayer. And we have not finished with that yet because the Lord said, I need to put down on CD and so on. I need to put down that which He's given me over all the years, the last 30 odd years and so on. And I'm sure this is not all of it, but you know, I think we're getting a good idea. And so in the secrets of prayer, we started off with the introduction and we saw that we needed to lay our lives down, that prayer is about a relationship. Prayer is not just a formula. Even the first module that we discussed, 7 steps to a deeper prayer life. Just for want of a better description, you know, 7 steps. But if we're going to make formulas, it's, you know, just going to stay that. We need to build a relationship. But I believe that there are certain things that we can do. You see, if I want to fellowship with my wife, I need to take certain steps. If I want to know her better, if I want our relationship to be deeper and more meaningful, then I must take a step towards her. And obviously she must take a step towards me. And then we sit down and we say, okay, let's spend more time together. Let's talk about the things of God. Let's speak about the things of the heart. Let's discuss these things. And let's deal with issues that might still stand between us. Now, if I have to relate that with my relationship with God, it's a type of prayer. It's fellowship with God. And I must take certain steps. So with God, I can take certain steps to draw close to Him and to have a deeper prayer life. Then we discussed hearing the voice of God. I mean, there's no point trying to pray if you don't know what God is saying. And I'm sure we've all fallen victim to that, that we've prayed stuff, and then afterwards we realize maybe a day later, a year later, 10 years later, you realize, you know, that prayer that I prayed there, I actually had no clue what I was praying for and what I was praying about. I was actually not praying the will of God. I was just praying my own ideas. And that's why it was important for us to teach on that. Then we discussed the heart of man. Because all of these things are interlinked. To pray, to have that prayer relationship with God, is everything to do with the heart. If your heart is not right, your motivations will not be right. Your motivations for praying and for asking and for standing in the gap and for interceding will not be right. It will not be righteous. And then we discussed understanding the enemy. And remember, I emphasized that we don't focus on Satan. We focus on Jesus. And the real enemy is us. And that's why we need to know our own hearts, the deceptiveness of our own hearts. And when we discussed understanding the enemy, we also discussed the real truth about binding and loosing. And I'm not going to discuss that right now, but We have bound stuff over the years and we've loosed stuff over the years. We had no business binding or loosing. And we need to understand that we need to be bound to the will of God. We need to be bound to Him. And the more we are bound to Him, the closer we are bound to Him, the more we are loosed from the systems of this world, the more we are loosed from those things that are carnal and fleshly. Amen. And so this brings us to the kinds of prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. And again, I don't want to compartmentalize what God says in His Word. This is all about a relationship. But we build a relationship with anybody by finding out more about them. So if I want to know my wife better, I ask her. I spend time with her. We discuss. We exchange words. And this is what God has done for us. He's given us His Word, and so we learn about Him. But it's not just knowledge. We must take that knowledge and build a relationship out of it. We must get to know the God behind the book. We need to get to know the Spirit of the Word. I mean, if somebody came and told me something about my wife, that she did this and this, they saw her in the streets doing this and this and this and this, whatever it was, some thing that was carnal or wasn't, you know, very Christ-like, I would say to them straight away, they could not have been my wife, because I know her from what I've seen with her, from what she's told me, the way we've interacted, I've gotten to know her. And there's a certain way that we interact. There's a certain kind of way that we interact. Just like there are kinds of prayer. There's certain ways that we interact with God. And so I get to know her character through my fellowship with her. And so if somebody comes and says, she did this and this, I'll say, no, it can't be. And it's the same with God. We need to learn how to interact with Him. And the reason why I've brought the kinds of prayer in only now, the topics we discussed before, was to help you build a deeper relationship with Him, to get a more meaningful understanding of Him. Otherwise, you would compartmentalize these things. And, you know, I don't want that. I don't believe that's what God wants. But there are certain ways, there are certain basic principles we can use. Just because we are third day doesn't mean there are not principles in the Bible that we're supposed to use. There are certain principles. Just because we third day doesn't mean that if I jump off the roof today now, that I'm not going to fall to the ground. That is a principle. Right? So there are principles. Just the same way as, okay, we're in South Africa. In the days that they used to be able to play rugby, they used to play according to the rules, before money became an issue. But you never saw them running out on the field, the Springboks, and then the referee was the guy that yesterday was refereeing Bafana Bafana, the soccer guys. And then he tries to use the soccer rules to referee the rugby match. It's never going to work. It's like trying to play badminton by using netball rules. You understand? There are certain principles that are just like that. And so there's certain things that we need to know about the Word of God and how God wants us to relate to Him. And that's why we're discussing the kinds of prayer. Now remember, we discussed what prayer is previously. Remember, we said prayer is conversation with God in the name of Jesus, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we said prayer is. But I want to make it even more simple than that. The most basic definition of prayer is the following. Is to communicate with God, just to speak to Him. Isn't it? That's the most important thing we need to understand, that instead of compartmentalizing, we just communicate with God. But we need to understand the principles in the Word, and it must become so part of us that in our communication, those things just come through as a matter of course, as a way of life. And I think the problem with us as Christians is that the word has not become alive within us, and so it hasn't become a way of life. We still think about it. Okay, if I do the following three things, then this must happen. No, we must become that thing in our relationship with God. Me being a pilot, I couldn't just do certain things with an aeroplane. I can't do things with an aeroplane that I can do with a motor car. I can't just stop in the middle of the sky and expect to just be hanging there. I need a helicopter to do that. But then the helicopter is still flying. Even though it's hovering in one spot, it's still flying. What people think is the propeller on top is actually not a propeller. Those are actually the wings. That's why it's called a rotary wing aircraft, and something like a Boeing is called a fixed wing aircraft. So I can't do with a fixed wing, like with a jumbo jet, I can't do certain things which I can do with a helicopter. With a helicopter, I can land in somebody's backyard, but if I try to take a 747 and do that, then they will be burying us in millions of little pieces. So in other words, what I'm saying, we need to do what is required. We need to apply the principles. There's certain principles. In South Africa, we drive on the right-hand side of the road, don't we? No, we drive on the left-hand side, Lindy. And it's so ingrained in us. We have conditioned ourselves. We have renewed our minds to the point that when we drive out of the driveway, even if the driver that we're driving out of is on the other side of the road, we automatically go to the left-hand side, depending which way we drive, obviously. If we're driving in one direction, we might have to cross the road to get to the left-hand side on the other side. But we don't even think about that. We don't even think how many times we shift the gears. Right? Now, to that point, we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, in our relationship with God, and the way that we pray. And so our lifestyle, what we are, what we become, must be in line with the Word of God, but it must be a relationship, using those principles. Our lives built on those things. Any foundations in our lives completely against the will and purposes of God, completely uprooted, and replaced with the word and the will of God. So simply communicate with God. And it's a good place to start. Many people say, yeah, but I don't know how to pray. I said, just start talking to God. Sit down with Him. Start speaking to Him. And then as you go, take the principles from the word of God and start applying them until they become not only a habit, but they become life to you. Let's have a look at Ephesians 2 verse 18. And verse 19. Now, for through him being Jesus, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, that both there means Jews and Gentiles. That means everybody on the face of the earth. And that puts to rest once and for all this whole thing about the Jewish people having a different kind of a covenant and all of that kind of thing. You know, and people running around and we're praying for the Jews and all that stuff. Yes, but we should be praying for all men, as you'll see as we go on. We should be praying for all men. For through Him, Jesus, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, if we have to get saved and enter into a relationship with God, so does the Jew or anyone else. So there's no more special thing that divides us asunder and all of that. Okay, so if somebody comes, yes, but you know, the Jews, that scripture puts that to rest. There are other scriptures as well, but that puts it to rest. So, for through Jesus, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Where does He live? Within you. So you have access. Now, for those of you that have tremendous rejection and opinions about yourself that, look, I'm a worthless worm and all of that, hear what I'm saying here. Hear what the Lord is saying to us. For through Jesus, we have access by one Spirit unto the what? The Father. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, you can just sit down there and say, Lord, I am here before you. And you don't have to have any sense of rejection. He says, because of the Spirit, you have access to the Father. Now, I'm laying a foundation tonight for the kinds of prayer. Because otherwise, if I give you the kinds of prayer, and you think, well, you know, why would he listen to me? He will listen to you. Because you have access to him by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Just think about that. How awesome is that? You have access to him. Now, we're not discounting the blood. The blood made it available and possible for us to have the Spirit. And now because of the Spirit, we have access to the Father. There's nothing standing in the way. Verse 19, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Some of us still feel like that. I speak to people on a regular basis. Yeah, but why? Why would God listen to me? I was speaking to somebody recently. Person gets up at 5 in the morning, goes to the gym, exercises, and then said to me, I put on a CD then when I get home, and I dance and praise and worship before the Lord for another hour, and so on and so on, and I'm still not hearing God. So this person went on a 3-day fast and got sick and stuff like that. And I said, why are you doing that? Not because I want to hear God. I said, you know what? Take your Bible. Just go sit an hour quietly before God. You will hear him. And in fact, the person spoke to me just after a meeting, such as this one. And I said, I believe I speak by the Spirit. So for the past hour, you've been hearing God. And you're still trying to fast and pray and trying to hear what God says. I said, take one of the scriptures that I've given you. That is God speaking to you. But religious tradition and what people have been putting into this person cause this person to start performing. I've got to do this, and if I don't jump 3 steps to the left and 4 to the back, and you know, and wave 15 flags every morning. Person's trying to desperately hear God. I said, just relax, it's a relationship. I mean, I'm sure Anika will start wondering about me. If I come here into the lounge, or I come into the bedroom or something, start waving flags and I start dancing, put the music on it for an hour, I go for it in front of her and say, okay, I'm trying to hear you speak. She'll say, shut up, put the music off, just stand still, I'll talk to you. What do you want to know? But we do that with God. We treat God like he's some, you know, I don't know what. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Skulk, you're not a stranger and a foreigner. Linny, you're not a stranger and a foreigner. Bobby, Anika, Cara, Sasha, Jan van Rooyen, everyone. We are no more strangers and foreigners. Think about that. I mean, that is a powerful statement. We have access to the Father by one Spirit, and we are no longer strangers and foreigners. And I'm sure my wife will not mind this, but this is years ago. She used to say to me that she thinks that God doesn't know her. And it was because of issues in her heart and so forth. But you know what? If there's one thing I know that she now knows, she is not a stranger and she's not a foreigner to him. When she goes to God, he knows. This is Anika. And she knows that he knows. But we all have these kind of things. Strangers and foreigners. We think that we don't belong with God or to God or anything like that. Now, why should he hear our prayers? This is deception. The enemy has put these things in our hearts and put it in our minds, and we've thought about it and thought about it, and society has told us, and our families have told us, and the people we work with have told us, and the teachers have told us, and the university professors have told us. But today, Jesus tells us we have access to the Father by one Spirit. That's the whole point why he came, to give us that access. And if you have access to the Father, and you are no longer a stranger and a foreigner, then surely he's going to listen to you, isn't he? Right. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. We are all fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 from verse 14 to verse 16. This is in line with this. And remember, we're talking about an intimate relationship and fellowship with God the Father, in and through the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about prayer to communicate with God. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. The King James talks about our profession. The profession is a confession. It's a declaration. I profess to be a Christian. So-and-so professes to be a pilot. But I checked him out and he's not a pilot. He's actually a taxi driver. He professes to be something that he's not. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith in him. And it's more than just saying Jesus is Lord of my life and so forth. It's our profession of faith, our confession in our daily walk with God, what he has told me to do, which I speak in the situation. If it's an adverse situation coming and I know God has told me to do a certain thing, he sent me on a mission on this earth, and whatever comes my way and tries to detract me from that, I hold fast to my profession, my confession, my declaration. No, but Jesus said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what he said for me to do. He said the end result will be this. I call those things which are not as though they are. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a fellow feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assault of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. What does this have to do with our communication with God? Everything. We can go to him. And we can sometimes have those feelings. Well, you know, I'm just a miserable worm. Why would he listen to me? Look what I did today. I certainly did not act Christ-like today when I shouted at so-and-so. But he has been tempted. He was tempted to do the same things as we were, as what we would do. Granted, he was not tempted by the taxis on the road. And I'm sure they did not have donkeys that would cut the other donkeys off. And okay. But he was tempted nonetheless. And he is with us. He is in us. How does he understand these things? He's with us. He looks through our eyes. He sees the world. He senses our pain. He understands. And he carried all those things, past, present, and future. He carried it in him and upon him. And so we can go to him in this communication and say, Lord, you know what? I am discouraged today. But I know your word says. You see, the word is the plumb line. The word is the standard. Everything needs to be measured up to the word. And the word is Christ. And the more we get to know him, we start measuring up more and more to the person of Christ. You know, it doesn't remain just a formula. Yes, well, this doesn't line up with Isaiah 40 verse 12 or something. It's more, what would Jesus do? How does this measure up to his character and who he is? And it becomes life, and we start walking in that. And then verse 16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Hear this. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, boldly draw near to the throne of grace. I can teach you all the kinds of prayer that there is, but if you don't understand that thing, remember Ephesians 2:18 said, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. We are no longer strangers. He says here, let us then fearlessly, and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. We have no excuse. We can just do it anyway. Those of you, well, all of us here, we've at some point we've been in a restaurant or something, and you know how we operate. Grab the waiter by the hand and just hold them there and start talking to them about Jesus because he's there. Say, come. Do you believe Jesus is Lord? Yes. Do you believe he died and rose on the third day? Yes. Etc., etc. Okay, pray with me. And I mean, there can be a restaurant full of people. We can be in the middle of a shopping center or whatever, and we do it. Why? Because we are in front of the throne. We are fearless in that. That's a lifestyle. That is who we are. You know what tradition has taught us, and this is like first day and second day kind of mentality. We have to now enter into the throne room of grace. And Lord, we worship you, bow down 15 times, sing 13 songs and so on. No. Those things are good, yes, and there's a time to praise and worship and shout and clap hands and all that. But you know what? Right now, you are before the throne because of one Spirit, because of the blood, because you can go there boldly. But you are there. You and I are only not there is because we think we're not there. Now, you know, I did this today, and you know what? I'm outside, you know. I'm outside the gates of the city. Yes, sin separates, but how does sin separate? Sin separates us in the fellowship. If I say something hurtful to Skulk, or let's go back in time, I phone him, say, this afternoon before the meeting, and I say something, and I had a slip of a tongue, and I said something which I shouldn't have said, and it caused hurt and offense in his heart. But now he's here tonight. But how will it be, Skok, when we are around one another? It'll be uneasy for you. Yeah, but he said this today. We're still close to one another, isn't it? But what? There's something wrong with our fellowship. We still have the relationship because we're brothers in the Lord, but the fellowship, because of my sin, the fellowship has been broken. So I can be before the throne of God, but my fellowship with my Father has been broken because of my sin. But my relationship with Him hasn't been broken. But what we've been lied to is that now, oof, there we are outside, you know, outside the outer courts, out there in the outer darkness. But you're not. And that's why we can just boldly come to Him. And 1 John 1:9 then says to us, just tell Him. He already knows anyway. What are we trying to hide from? He already knows. So we might as well just come out with and say, Lord, I did this thing. And He says, yes, I know, but you're forgiven. The blood of my Son cleanses you. If you seek to walk in the light as I am in the light, the blood of my Son Jesus continuously cleanses you. Amen. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us who have sinned or who are sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Our greatest problem and the reason why we fail is because we don't do that. Firstly, because we think we're strangers. And then secondly, because we don't think we have that relationship and we can't enter in boldly anymore. Amen? 99% of our prayers have to do with our relationship with the Father and His relationship with us. If we would cultivate that, our lives would be so much easier. And thank God I found that out reasonably early in my Christian walk. I used to pray for everything. I mean, if there was a prayer request from the pulpit in the church, man, and went into my little diary and we'd be fasting and praying and calling together everybody and praying and whatever it is. You know, if everybody just spent the time with the Lord in fellowship, we wouldn't have to call these emergency prayer meetings. You have that relationship. You bring that presence in. You bring that Spirit in. You bring that anointing in because of your relationship with God. So we don't have to travail and, we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday or Sunday or whatever. Well, we have to, Wednesday night, you know, there we go, Kuraba Sanda Raja, and it's flags and music and warfare and all that stuff. We come in because we've been abiding with Him and in Him. If we can cultivate that, I don't see Jesus doing any of that stuff. You see Jesus doing any of it anyway. You know how He did warfare. The day that hit me, I was blessed out of my boots and socks. You go and read the Gospels. Every time there was persecution against Jesus, remember what He did? He would go on top of the mountain in the evenings, spend time with His Father. And remember when what He said about that. That which I hear my Father say is what I say. That which I see Him do is what I do. Where did He see? He saw in the Spirit. And then He would come down the next day from the mountain. And what would He do? He would go to the multitudes and do what? Preach to them, heal them, feed them, set them free, deliver them. That's what He did. When John the Baptist was beheaded, what did Jesus do? It says He was grieved, yes. But what did He do the next day? You can go and look at it. He went and preached the gospel of the kingdom and He cast out devils. He healed the sick. Man, that is how He did warfare. He wasn't, you know, 14 flags and all that stuff. And I'm not saying we can't wave the flags and whatever. If you want to do that, do that. We've all done that. We've done it here. But I want to be like Jesus. He's the boss. He knows how it works. I see how things work for Him. I want the same thing. Relationship. So 99% of our prayers has to do with and must have to do with our relationship with the Father and His relationship with us. If we seek Him and His kingdom first, our requests will be granted. We've got our priorities wrong. We're trying to do all the things. What if I praise and worship long enough? If I do this long enough? You know, if I go to church often enough? If I don't want whatever? No. Seek Him and His kingdom first, and these things will be added. And we know what Matthew 6 verse 33 says about that. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is righteousness? It is right standing and right living with God. Get that right first, and all these things shall be added to you. Because if your relationship is one of righteousness and right standing with God, you will automatically fellowship with Him and pray and interact with Him in such a way that your prayers will be answered. All these things will be added. Amen? Now the other thing, and I've said this before, all believers are called to pray. It's not some that are anointed, you know, some intercessors, and we have these holy huddles of intercessors in the church, you know, and we have the head intercessor, and then the head intercessor starts going all over the world, and the head intercessor, you know, knows more than the pastor does. And I've spoken to those people. No, but the pastor is not seeing this, brother. But it's then funny that God didn't make that person the pastor of that church. Either the pastor is not supposed to be the pastor of that church. You know, something's out of whack. I mean, but all believers are called to pray. All believers are called to interact with God and have that fellowship. And as the Lord leads us, then we pray for certain things. Luke chapter 18 verse 1 says this. This is about Jesus. And He spoke a parable unto them, to this end, or to this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, how is it possible for us always to pray? Means we're never going to sleep. And that's why you get people, you know, there they go. Man, prayer meeting after prayer meeting. And after about 5-6 years, we've seen them. They burn out and they completely backslide in their relationship with God. Why? Because this is not what this means. That word pray, it means to pray to God, obviously. It means to supplicate. Now, I'm sure you've all wondered what that means, supplications and prayers. Yes, Lord, supplications and prayers. But what does it mean to supplicate? It means to enter the throne room of God with a purpose. You listen to most of the stuff that Christians pray, and especially in some of these prayer meetings. And again, I'm not saying we mustn't have prayer meetings. But we need to enter the throne room boldly, as it said, without fear, but with purpose. Why are we going there? Why would you see the president of a nation or the king of a nation? If you just went there, well, I'm just coming into fellowship with you. You take your flags with and you've got your boombox there, and then you start dancing and you start waving your flags, and then you go for it. And the president would say, listen, guards, please take this guy out here. No, you go in with purpose. You make supplication. You go to that king or that president and say, I'm here for this business. And I know it's in your power to give me this. And I want you to give that. Right? It's the same with God. Yes, there are times of fellowship with God. But when we do this, when we pray, let's go with purpose. As Christians, we need to be the most purposeful people on earth. Because of our relationship with Him. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray. In other words, we should be living in the presence of the throne room. You can do that all the time, even when you're sleeping. You just got to renew your mind to that. Amen? That is how you can continually pray. That's how men can always pray. Now remember, somebody said, yes, but when we're asleep on this side of the earth, the people on the other side of the earth, they're praying. So there's always prayer going on. No, I can be in a state of prayer, but a state of prayer is in fellowship with my Father, to the point where I'm sleeping nicely at 20 past 2 in the morning, and I wake up clear as a bell, and I know this is the Lord. Means I'm before the throne, and he was just saying, Jan, I was just thinking. You see? That's relationship. I was just thinking about this, Jan. I just want to share this with you, and then, you know, just start praying about that. Talk to me about it. Let's just discuss this. Let's change some lives. Let's get some people saved or set free or whatever it might be. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And it means we need to cultivate that awareness of walking in His presence before the throne. Remember, Alan was talking about this whole respect thing. One of the reasons why we don't have respect is because we kind of jump in and out of the throne room of God, in and out of the presence of God. But we are all before His throne. If you're a citizen of heaven, you're always before the throne. And so we should first of all respect Him and then respect one another. Amen? We should cultivate that. Christians have been taught, you know, go and separate yourself. And I know that we need to do that. We need to do those things where we separate ourselves with the Lord. But what's happened is that it's become a religious exercise. And people come out of the prayer closet. This morning, you know what, this morning, I entered into the presence of God. And when I came out of the presence of God, I mean, it's reflected in even the way that we pray. Lord, I come before Your throne. I am before the throne. And I've had to pull that down in my mind. I am before the throne. So I've learned to say, Father, I thank You that I am before Your throne. Not I'm trying to get before the throne. How many of us still pray? Lord, I enter Your presence this morning. So where have you been then? If you've got to enter His presence, then you've been outside the universe somewhere. Because the Bible tells me His presence is everywhere. I know that's a ridiculous example. We're talking about the manifest presence of God. But I am before His presence. I am in His presence. His presence is in me. So that word pray is to supplicate, to pray, to enter the throne room of God with purpose, to worship. Amen. And let's continually walk in that. Let's not grow faint. And grow faint, in other words, let's not stop doing that. Let's cultivate that. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says this. He says, don't be slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, you've heard me quote that thing many times, but the Lord highlighted something for me. He said, be not slothful. And it's pretty awesome. That word slothful, as they say, it hit me between the eyes. Slothful, Greek word nothros. It comes from the root word, an illegitimate son or bastard. So what is he saying? Let's read Hebrews 6 verse 12 differently. He says, don't be like an illegitimate son or a bastard son, but be a follower of them who through faith. We know what happens to illegitimate children in this world. Yes, some of them are blessed. Some families accept them and they take them in and so forth. And then they start living like a true son. But most illegitimate children, they want to know who's their parents and etc., etc. Isn't it true? He says, don't be like an illegitimate son. And remember, Ephesians 2, 18 and 19, he said, we have access to the throne room. You are no more strangers and foreigners. That confirms that very thing. Don't act like an illegitimate son. What does an illegitimate son do? They do all sorts of stuff. Movies have been made about that. Books have been written about that, etc., etc. And they've caused great harm, many of them. Because of their mindset. Well, you know, I didn't have a proper father, and I didn't have this, and you know, I don't actually know who my father is. In actual fact, my mother's a prostitute. I don't know. And so what do they become? They become renegades. They become no good people. So he says, be not slothful. Be not an illegitimate son or a bastard. Or sluggish. Or lazy. Or stupid. Or dull. That's all included in that word. So we need to act like the sons that we are and be sharp and diligent and renew our minds so that we're not stupid and walk in the mind of Christ. Amen? And be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's follow those who have gone before us, spiritual fathers, leaders, who have shown fruit in their lives, that we can see through faith and waiting on God and trusting Him for the promises to come to pass, we see the promises coming to pass. Let's follow them. But it takes diligence to do that. It takes diligence for me to go to my spiritual father's meetings. It takes diligence of me to interact with Him, to pick up the phone and speak to Him, to go to the meetings afterwards and interact with Him and glean from Him and draw from His Spirit and draw on the anointing that is on Him. It takes effort from my side. It takes effort to continue to look at what He's producing in His life. It takes effort from my side. But I see Him through faith and patience over the last 25, 30 years. I've seen Him inherit the promises of God. And some of those promises have taken years and years to come to pass, but it's an example to me. But I would not know that if I didn't diligently follow Him and look at His life and made sure that I knew what was going on with Him and found out where He was in the world and where they're ministering next week and so forth. So I don't want to be an illegitimate son to Him. I want to be a real son to Him who knows what's going on there. And that's how we've got to be with our Father. We are sons of God. James chapter 1 verse 6. When we pray, we must ask in faith. When we ask God, we must ask in faith, nothing wavering. That wavering, I equate to fear. Ask in faith. If you ask in true faith, will you be double-minded? Will you doubt? Will you waver? Well, you know, maybe God's not going to give it to me. Well, maybe He is going to give it. No. You will know what the Word says. You will have entered into the throne room of grace boldly. You will have a promise from God and say, God, Your Word says this. And so you won't waver. And we know what the rest of the verse says. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. First Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. We all know this one. Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications. And remember what we said about supplication is to enter the throne room of God with a purpose. To first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we're all called to pray for all men. At some point, God will lead me to pray for certain people, but I could never pray for all men in that sense. I can pray a blanket prayer and say, Lord, tonight I'm asking that everyone that is still breathing and on the face of the earth, that they be saved. And that would be in line with God's will, because it's His will that nobody would perish, you know, without Him. But corporately as the body of Christ, I believe that we can pray for all men. He says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications. You see that? First of all, supplications. Enter into the throne of grace with a purpose. Secondly, then offer up your prayers, which is petitions. In other words, Lord, this is what Your Word says. I've got it written down, Your Lord, and I'm trusting You for that. Intercessions is to stand in the gap. The Lord leads you while you're there. The Lord leads you to pray for somebody. Pray on behalf of a situation. And then afterwards, giving of thanks. Even Oprah Winfrey gets that one right. She said, what's that book that she said? A gratitude journal. Start writing down all the things that you are grateful for, that you are thankful for. We should do that. You know, we just run around and Lord, this and that and the other. And we never thank the Lord. We don't even thank one another. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. And this is where we get this whole thing, all kinds of prayer, different kinds of prayer, the kinds of prayer that they are. Praying always with all prayer. That all prayer means kinds and types of prayer. And supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, there it comes through faith and patience, through perseverance, watch. What does that watch mean there? How do we watch? The original language says to go without sleep if necessary. So in other words, to trust God, to stand on that word, to hold it until we have peace in our hearts, that we know that we know that we know that we have our petition from God. Prayer is the foundation of every Christian endeavor. We take the word, we believe it, we bring it before the throne room of God. But you know what? Christian endeavors, businesses, homes, families, churches, ministries, whatever, lives fail because there's no prayer. There's no interaction with God. Without prayer, no Christian will ever be able to build the kingdom of God successfully within themselves and with one another. Hebrews 13 verse 20 and 21 says this. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. See? He's endeavoring to make us perfect in every good work and thereby accomplish His will. Can it not be like that with prayer? If we know how to pray, if we know how to implore God, if we know how to interact with Him, do you not think that we are doing His will and that we can do His will and allow His will to be manifested in the earth? He is busy working with us, making us perfect in these works. He wants you and I to live that lifestyle of interaction and fellowship and prayer with Him. And He's making us perfect in these good works. Then it says, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. We fellowship with Him. We draw close to Him. He's working in us. We start praying according to His will and purposes. And we start doing and praying and saying that which is well-pleasing in His sight. We start manifesting the kingdom of God. And it's all done through the Lord Jesus Christ, as that verse says, to whom be glory forever and ever. He makes you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. He's doing that in you. We've just got to make ourselves available. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now let's not misinterpret that also. Paul was praying 24 hours a day. No. He was carrying them in his heart. He was supplicating. He was before the throne. And when the thought would come up in his heart, say about Timothy or whoever it was, about the different churches that he planted, then he would, before the throne of God, Lord, your word says, Lord, I have access to your throne. I can stand here and intercede on their behalf. And this is written to the Colossians, obviously. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You want a prayer to pray for somebody? There's one right there. Now pray this for all of you right now. I desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And Father, I thank You that it's also Your will. It is Your purpose for us. That each one of us be filled with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There, I just prayed it. And I sensed my spirit was stirring when I did that. So the presence of God came. Verse 10. Why was he praying all that? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Prayer is a good work. It should be a fruit of repentance. It should be something that we do. Father, thank you that I can just stand here and I can enter into intercession on behalf of that situation. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You are the King of Kings and You orchestrate and You move on behalf of men. And I thank You that that situation, that You are intervening because Your word says this, Lord, and Your word says so and so and so and so. That's a good work. And it comes out of a pure heart. We shouldn't pray because we want to manipulate or whatever. We can pray to change situations. But you know what? We actually pray to change situations by asking God to change the people who have the authority, who have been placed over situations. God changes the hearts of the people who can change circumstances. And so that's where a lot of Christian witchcraft comes from, because people are praying for people because they're trying to get their own way. Well, Lord, you change that person's heart, then I can have this and this and this. No, it shouldn't be like that. Our motivation should be one of humility and thankfulness towards the Father for what He's done for us. And that it should be a good work that comes out of our relationship and thankfulness for what He's done for us. So Paul says, I read the whole two verses, Colossians 1 verse 9 and 10. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what we see here again, prayer is the foundation for many other things. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, obviously I cannot ask for another man's wife. Because it says here, you ask, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. No, he's not going to do that for me. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I have his heart, I have his spirit. So I will pray in line with who he is. I will pray in line with his character, with his person. And then when I pray in line with that, I will obviously not ask for selfish reasons. I will ask correctly according to his will. And then it shall be done. Does not matter how talented or gifted a person may be. He will fail or he will only have limited success in life if he does not back whatever he does in prayer. And that's why, you know, we have something that's fantastic. We don't have to just sit there before the Lord and speak in English. I speak to the Lord in English. In other words, I pray with my understanding and I pray with my spirit. I pray in my heavenly language, in tongues. And as I pray in tongues, the word of God starts bubbling out of my spirit and I speak it out. I speak it in English so I can understand it. Many times it's interpreting what's in my spirit. And many times I hear things and I'm speaking my future. Many times situations that I may have forgotten about, things that are unresolved, come up and I thank the Lord. And the Lord starts giving me the word and I speak it into the situation and I go through my day, and during the day the situation comes up, somebody phones or whatever it is, and then they say to me, well, this situation has been resolved. And it was done because the Lord gave it to me when I was spending that time with Him. And that's the problem with a lot of us. We get a vision from God, but you know what? We don't spend the time with Him to hear how He wants us to do it. That's where we fall down. If it's not backed with that prayer relationship with our Father, we can learn from Jesus. He spent the night, entire nights on the mountain. And there you have a ministry. He walked in the will of God. He lived his ministry. He walked it out to its fullness. When Christians fail, it's basically because of a prayer failure. And I've said this before, I'm saying it again as I close. Prayer does not make faith work. That's what a lot of people do. So they start praying up a storm. They get these prayer meetings together and they go for it in the spirit and so on. But it's not based on the word. There's no knowledge of the word. There's no insight into the word. There's no hearing from God. What word do we have to stand on here, Lord? Because faith comes by what? Hearing the word. And when faith arises in my heart, don't you think it's a lot easier than to go to the Lord and say, Lord, your word says this. I believe it's true. And then that prayer gets answered. But people try and do all sorts of stuff. They try and worship, jump up and down again. And they try and pray to get their faith to work. But they forget the most important thing. The scripture says that God has exalted his word above his name. The word is important. The word brings faith in our hearts. When the faith is there, then we can pray. It's the faith that will make your prayers work. I'm sure as you've been sitting here, hearing some of these verses, faith has arisen in your heart. And, I mean, just me waiting on the Lord, just thinking about what He has said. I am no longer a foreigner. I have access by one Spirit. I mean, I've been walking with God for many, many years. But it's so refreshing to me. I just want to be with Him. I just want to, you know, Lord, I'm here. What can we do today? What can we do tonight? Can we pray for somebody? What can we do? I have access. That's what it's done for me. It's just reinforced in me again that I belong to Him. I don't have to perform. He has paid the price. I am a son. If I abide in him, and he in me, whatever I ask, he'll give it to me. And how awesome is that? I hear people say, well, you know, maybe, I don't know if God will actually give me that. And I say, what it is that that you are trusting him for? And they tell me, I say, okay, but the word says this, 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 this. Oh, thank you, that helped me so much. They just did not base what they were praying about on the word. So yes, in one way we can say we fail because of a prayer failure. But you know what? If that prayer is not based on God's word and our relationship that is built on the word of God, then surely we will not succeed in what God has called us to do. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Your word is yes and amen. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the after speaker. Thank you that you bring to our remembrance what was shared tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we do have access because of one Spirit into the throne room of grace. Thank you, Lord, as we abide in you and you abide in us, we can ask whatever we will, and it shall be done for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can cultivate your presence. Thank you that we can supplicate, Lord, that we can carry something before the throne. And Lord, wherever we go, the throne is where we are, because you are everywhere and you are live within us. And so we worship you and thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.